I wake up and chase my dreams. I won't regret when the sun sets, 'cause I live my life like I'm a bee.
Welcome, everybody, to the Natural Born Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Will Bradley, along with my co-host, Phil Mendoza. And tonight we have a very special guest, founder of Wilderness Athlete, avid bow hunter and outdoorsman, Coach Mark Paulson. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thanks, Will. Great to be on.
Well, Phil and I both had the honor of meeting you and getting to know you a little bit in Train to Hunt Arizona this year. What did you think of the event there?
Well, it was my first actual presence at one of those events. I've watched some of the videos, and we wanted to get involved early on. I had, the privilege of meeting and talking to Kenton, and it was fascinating. I was really impressed just by the competitive spirit of a range of wilderness athletes that, I don't know, they probably went from, 20 to 55? So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is one of the impressive things, is the range of people who show up to this, men, women, old, young, different physical ability levels, and they come just to challenge themselves. Do you think you'd see yourself doing this anytime down the road?
Yeah, I'd probably be more inclined if I could draw a darn elk tag in New Mexico with my bow. It's so darn hard to draw anymore. But I was impressed. I got busy the last 5 years, Will, with my children and the age that they were. So I kind of picked up the rifle and the muzzleloader. And now that I have more time, I would really love to get back. And the archery equipment has really improved in the last 5 years. I was so impressed by the equipment.
Hey, just give Phil a call. He owns a shop. We'll get you hooked up.
That sounds good.
Maybe you can draw an elk tag in Colorado. They might be a little easier over the counter.
Yeah, I know it. I'd love to. And I'll take you up on that, Phil.
And so now that you've gone from bow hunting and now you're doing a little more rifle and muzzle loader, do you hunt as a family or are you going out by yourself?
No, I have four children, three sons, and they all hunt. And my youngest son killed a 365 bull last year. And we had a pretty good year this year. I drew another good tag. And I think, just like you said, I will probably go archery hunt Colorado over the counter. I'm only 4 hours from where I would hunt in Southern Colorado. And so you can imagine that's not too much work to make that happen. So, but I grew up hunting in northern Minnesota, growing up as a boy, trapping, fishing, and so my kids have been doing that since they were born.
Oh, wow. So what brought you down to Arizona? I know everybody calls you Coach P. I guess I heard your name as Coach P before I even knew it was Mark Paulson from, I think it's Trevin Stolzfus first told me about you. How did you get that nickname?
Well, I actually, when I finished my athletic career, I went to graduate school in South Carolina and started a profession, moving toward the profession of what's called strength and conditioning, athletic performance, human performance. And so I left South Carolina after coaching there. I got a job in Southern California. I coached there, working with athletes, the physical development, nutritional development, speed development, weight gain, weight loss, flexibility, everything affiliated with being a better athlete, respectful to your sport. And then I came to New Mexico 27 years ago. I thought I would only be here 2 years, Will, and here it is 27 years later, and I'm still here.
just had to stay, huh?
Well, when you grow up in, like I said, in northern Minnesota, where you're freezing 7 months out of the year, and then I was fortunate enough early on to meet some ranchers. And when I say ranchers, I know you're from New York. I've never been around folks who owned ranches that were like 60,000 to 250,000 acre spreads. Wow. And I think everybody has a little bit of the Wild West, the mystery of the West. And so I became fairly enamored with it, and I love it now.
Wow, that is something I can't imagine, that much land for a ranch in one place. You know, we have farms up here, but you know, maybe a few thousand acres would be, you know, a giant one up this way. And we have huge, you know, it's dairy country, but a ranch like that is I can't imagine the magnitude without having to see it, you know.
Yeah, when it takes you a couple hours just to drive around it, it is impressive. But I grew up like you and you know, dairy farm in northern Minnesota. So I've been baling hay. I baled hay for many, many years, and actually kind of miss it now that I'm getting older, if you can believe that.
You miss that farm boy strength, huh?
I do. I really do.
When so my day job is construction, and whenever we hire somebody, the first thing I ask them is, have you ever done any farming? It's an easy way to weed out people who aren't that hard at working and don't have that physical strength.
Yeah, that's for darn sure. I'd agree with that.
Hey, Coach P, this is Phil Mendoza here. Hey, tell us a little bit more about your family. I mean, I understand you've got a couple boys, and you know, recently we saw one of them in social media that did pretty well with a accomplishment as far as a state championship goes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. Well, I appreciate you mentioning my family. I have four boys. My oldest son actually is getting married in a couple weeks. He was a football player. He played football at the University of Oklahoma. Had a great career there. He's actually he went into the Cincinnati Bengals camp. He's trying to get back into a camp now. He's again 25. I have a 23-year-old daughter who was a dancer, and she was very talented. Actually, won a scholarship in New York City to go to Austria when she was 13 years old. And if it wasn't for Skype, that would have never happened. I have another son who is now 21. This guy would crawl across glass for a hunting trip. I don't care if it was hunting chipmunks. This guy just loves to hunt. His name is Gunner. And my youngest son, Dane, is the one you mentioned, Phil. He's a tennis player, just won the large school state championship, and is going to Wheaton College in Chicago on a tennis scholarship in the fall. So, yeah, I've enjoyed raising children. They've been a lot of fun. But I will tell you that I am ready for the next phase of my life. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
What do you envision the next phase of your life being?
Well, my wife, who actually probably has the athletic ability in the family, she was a tennis professional. And you know, we both love to travel. And we love to see different cultures. And so just the ability. I mean, you guys are both at the age where you're raising children. And it's a wonderful time of your life. But I'm ready to not have that responsibility and just be a little more carefree like it was before kids. So I'm looking forward to that.
You're not going to have to wake up in the middle of the night wondering when they're going to come home?
Oh, I don't know that, you know, well, you never get away from that. I think the day you have a child is the day that you are going to worry until the day that you go home, man. I mean, it's just the way it is. And, but that's just part and parcel to being a parent. So you got to learn to live with it and, try not to worry, but yeah, you never get around that.
So, you know, you have these great athletes, you know, for children. Do you give them coaching advice? Do they take coaching advice from you, or is it more like, hey, hands off, I'll let somebody else take the reins on it?
No, I think they listen to their dad, and but I try to expose them to other people, you know, because you know, just like you mentioned, well, I'm their parent. They hear me enough, but I don't want to be one of those. In fact, I'm probably the least pushy parent. I've been around enough of those kinds of parents, and so I just let them know. Listen, if you want to quit tomorrow, quit. It's your life, not mine. You do whatever you want to do. So I'm there for them if they want my advice, and if not, that's okay too. So I've never wanted to be one of those kinds of parents. Certainly, I want to give them guidance, keep them out of trouble, and put them in front of the right kinds of people that can have a positive influence in their life, but never wanted to be a psycho parent.
No, I'm sure as a coach you may have experienced one or two of those over the years.
Oh, yeah. And probably more moms. I hope I don't get make the moms mad, but probably more moms than dads, believe it or not.
Well, there's no love like a mother's love.
I can think of a few other words, too.
Part and parcel, as you say.
It sure is.
So what was your favorite – so the one's in tennis, one's in dance, one's in football, and one loves to hunt. If say, you were to go in one of those four, which one do you think you would go towards now?
Oh, you know, I've really had my fill of traditional athletics, and you know, of all of it. I just – that's why – you know, you guys are relatively young. I'm 55 years old. There's not enough days left in my life to try to not be in the woods. I mean, I cherish every chance I can, whether it's to stand in the middle of a river with a rod or to be chasing bulls. If I don't draw a tag, I'm still going in the woods because I'm going to be around those critters one way or the other. I think as a younger man and obviously with a lot of parental responsibilities, I didn't have that option. But I left a backpack. I just, again, not to beat it to death, but at this stage of my life, just being in the outdoors is something that you truly come to cherish.
Hey, amen. I agree with you there. I think Aaron Snyder calls it bow hiking.
Yeah, I've told people too, you know, you go on the hunt trips, and it really can be, for a lot of people, it can be very expensive camping, but it's still well worth it.
Yeah, you know, it's expensive camping and cheap therapy.
Yep, very well put.
So, becoming the founder of Wilderness Athlete, how exactly did that come about?
Well, you know, over the course of 30-plus years working with athletes in a lot of arenas, and I've always had a passion for what nutrition could do for a competitive person or anybody, just from a foundational health standpoint. I went to graduate school to study nutrition at South Carolina. And then I've been around it. I've had companies, you can imagine, in my profession, we would purchase tens of thousands of dollars worth of supplements. And then along the way, I met some people who asked me to sit on some nutritional boards, which I was honored to do. And then when my career was coming toward the end, I realized that I don't see anything out there for the wilderness athlete. I don't see anything out there that can help elevate their life, advance their health and performance. So I called a few friends of mine, including one of the conditioning coaches for the Tennessee Titans, another gentleman from Russia, and another gentleman from Washington, who's one of the top formulators in the world. And we started this company, and it's been onward and upward ever since.
What did people think when you said, hey, I'm going to go out and start this company. I'm going to blaze the trail, and I'm not going to go after necessarily the traditional sports. I'm going to aim towards the outdoors athletes. How was the response to that?
I think everybody saw it as a real opportunity, but in hindsight, Will, I will tell you that we were probably a few years ahead of our time, because anytime you open a new market, there was nobody in that space. Nobody. And in other words, if you went even to an REI, they carry products from Hammer Gel or Cliff Bar, you know, but nothing that was really as comprehensive as what I wanted to introduce. And so I knew we had the brain with these relationships that I had developed, certainly not mine, but one of my mantras was be find really, really smart people and hang on. So that's what I did. So we started then, and it was well received early on, but then the banking industry and the credit crunch and everything that hit us about 6-7 years ago, that caused a lot of problems. But we were able to weather the storm with the addition of another gentleman named Floyd Green that came to the table. And ever since then, now we've really been doubling as a company every year since then.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, forgive me for being a little quiet. Mark and I had a little conversation last night just as we were preparing for the podcast, and I got to sit and talk for half an hour or so, you know, as to a lot of the direction or the, you know, and Mark, maybe allude a little bit more to, you know, like you said, this, your product is not just for extreme backpack, you know, backcountry hunters. Your product is designed for health and then also for extreme hunting type athletes.
Well, yeah, you know, in fact, we are noted as the authority on outdoor performance nutrition, which I don't think there's any denying that. But that caused me a lot of consternation, quite frankly, because of what you just said, Phil. People started to think that we were just about high performance. And I have a lot of anxiety about that because I want people to know that you can have health without high performance, but you cannot have high performance without health. And so my point is that I want people to look at wilderness athlete as foundational health. I look at everybody in the woods, hunters, sportsmen, you know, fishermen, backpackers, they're my brothers and sisters. I want them to be as healthy as humanly possible, regardless of what they choose to do with their health. And it's not just about the extreme. I don't know. Do we have some products for the extreme person? Absolutely we do. But I want to advance health and high performance and everything in between.
Yeah, and I mean, very well said. You know, it's something that, you know, Will and I being, you know, competitors in the train to hunt events, and, you know, you guys being a very critical part of what makes that those events happen, you know, I'm a little bit more better informed with your product than some of the other ones out on the market. And I'm not a real big supplement guy. I've always been, you know, I've always been health oriented. I eat pretty clean. I take some protein, you know, and then like the hydration drinks and, you know, the Hydrate and Recover. So it's something that I don't consider. I consider myself to be borderline extreme on the athletic side of stuff and hunting, but not so much on what I put in my body. And I've always been more of the opinion of getting what I need from the food that I eat and then supplement slightly with supplements. So, I mean, what's your kind of balance, if you will? You know, where do you feel supplementation is in the importance, or is it something that's a 10% should be? Again, supplements should supplement your nutrition by 10%, 5%, 20%. What's your kind of thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Phil, I always want people to know that very sensitive to what you just proposed there, because I think you're partly right. Let me put it this way: I think the ability to lead a long, healthy, productive life, free from sickness and what's called morbidity, disease, is to eat as healthy as you can, to exercise. I like to call it activity because it may not be, you know, like we're talking about. Well, you mean, tell me a farmer who's baling hay 4 days a week and got to go to the gym. Probably doesn't need to. So activity. And then the third part of the equation is to supplement, because when you look at the research, and sometimes you can get away from it when you're younger, but it will catch up to you over time if you don't understand that minerals are not in the foods the way they used to be. I don't care how you shop, but Whole Foods, Sprouts, Wild Oats, wherever you shop, the nutrient content is not in the foods that we eat today. I'm sitting here, and this is part of the problem that I have, guys. I'm not a marketer, and I don't know how good of a marketing company we are, but I know I'm not very good. I love research. I love hanging around really smart people, which is why I've got our research boards that we've got, which are the top in the world in scientific research for nutrition. But I like to look at data, and I can show you data on the USDA that illustrates quite clearly that, in fact, I'm looking at one right here that will show you that the mineral content today versus 1992 is 85% depleted. Okay, and so things are really rapidly declining based on farming practices. I'm not a sky is falling guy, but I do believe that diseases are on the rise. I mean, I'm looking at another graph right here. I can show you where, whether it's heart conditions, bronchitis, asthma, bone deformities, cancer, all these things are on the rise. Why is that happening, guys? In an era where we're smarter than we've ever been technologically, we're going in one direction with technology and gadgets. We're going the other way with our health. And so I'm just a big, strong proponent on supplementing with vitamins, minerals, protein if necessary, certainly recovery products, nighttime. You know, you can look at our complete line of products, and maybe you need one or two of them. Maybe you need five or six of them. But, you know, I'm just big on research and what I see the human body is not getting today. And that's why I'm so passionate about our company. And I think the biggest challenge we have is educating people, you know. So that's my job, and I look forward to doing that.
You know, Mark, you bring up a really good point I'm glad you touched on. And it's something my dad talks about all the time. And I guess I would pose this question to you, he poses to a lot of people, is, does a watermelon taste like a watermelon used to? You know, in the past, does a carrot look like a carrot used to? Do any of these foods really look like they used to? Do they taste like they used to? And I don't think they do. I think they're getting blander and blander, and, you know, they're looking prettier and prettier.
Well, I'd agree, Will. And I think what's happening is the generations, as they go by, most of them, especially in the city, they don't even know what a tomato is supposed to taste like. We go back to northern Minnesota, my friends, they all have their own gardens. And the first thing my wife and children want to do is go out there and raid their gardens because of how good those foods taste. And I don't care where I shop in these health food stores, they don't come close to the garden, you know, because of the care and the love that someone that has their own garden can give to it. Now, so you bring up a great point, Will, and that's just what I'm saying. I don't think people need to act like their hair is on fire, but to the degree that you can supplement so that you can stay disease-free, I think some people should certainly look at the data and invest in their health. I like what Dr. Cooper said from the Cooper Heart Institute in Dallas. He said this. He said, guys, it's far cheaper to invest in your health while you have it than it is to try to recapture it once it's gone. And the problem is when you're between 20 and 50, a lot of those things don't rear their head. Sometimes they do. But a lot of things that if you haven't paid attention to your health, once you get to a certain age, it really starts to snowball, and it's hard to stop it if you haven't paid attention when you're younger.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is you see the – I'm not involved in CrossFit. I do my own kind of workouts. I use some of Kenton that trained to hunt. I supplement with his workouts. But you see the whole the community, the fitness community, the health community that are trying to be more aware and eat more, you know, unprocessed foods, and now eat natural meats. And it's something that us hunters have been doing forever, you know, where we go out and we pursue our meat. We harvest our you know, we kill these animals and we process the meat ourselves, and we know where it comes from. And like you said, you know, you planting your own garden and you killing your own deer or elk and living on that meat, that, to me, the level of hunters, I would say that the graphs that you're looking at probably reflect more of the people shopping at the grocery store than the people that shop in the woods.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you're right. You bring, but in fact, it's funny, guys. Again, as I get older, my wife, she loves when I bring home cows, you know, cow elk, because, you know, those big gnarly bulls in the middle of the rut, they don't taste like one of those, you know, dandy young cows. And so, you know, my whole family has got used to that, and that's one of the beautiful things about being a sportsman. And do we get to live in a world where we can harvest our own foods and put them in our freezer, and what a wonderful thing that is. I'd also like to mention to you guys that I'm fully aware that the nutritional industry can be pretty cheesy. I mean, I've been around a lot of companies that I would not recommend to my athletes, my children. Most people don't realize or recognize that the average nutritional company only lasts 2 years and then they're gone. And so I want people to know that, like, with Wilderness Athlete, my researchers and my manufacturers, we use facilities that are what's called NSF, National Sanitary Facility for Sport. So anybody that's training for the Olympics could use Wilderness Athlete products and not test positive. That means a lot to me, because for 30 years, if I recommended a product to an athlete, if he used it and tested positive, I would have been unemployed the next day. So that may not mean much to a lot of people, but it means a lot to me that I can feel good about anybody using our products, whether they're a Wilderness athlete, a traditional athlete, a family that just wants to get healthy. Just wanted you to know that, guys.
How long is it? When did Wilderness Athlete start? When did you guys actually form that company?
Well, we formed in 2005.
So you guys are 10 plus years in, and like you said, growing every year. You're right. I can think back when I graduated in high school in 97, and I grew up powerlifting in high school. We competed in powerlifting events, and I can tell you that there's some of the junk that we used to go buy at GNC, that's not there anymore. None of those companies, you know, I'd say maybe two or three that I can think of off the top of my head still exist. And some of those are probably just a GNC label and other type brands. So that's pretty big compliment to your guys' company there to have sustained a down economy and still getting better every year.
Well, it's a testimony to the people that are in this company. I'm the guy that really has it made. I get to go out and meet people like you guys and shake hands and kiss babies and really have a lot of fun helping people get healthy. But I have to rely on the researchers, the manufacturers, the securing the raw materials that we know are clean. And I've actually, you know, I visit our manufacturing plant and to see the operation to where they can take just one iota out of a kibble, out of a 50-gallon drum, and they can test it in a matter of seconds, tell you how clean it is. And it really is it's a wonderful thing to see. And in this facility, the reason I bring that up, they don't even allow a company in their facility that would have a product that would test positive that could allow for what's called cross-contamination. It can't even possibly occur because they don't even allow it in their facility. So it's those are the kind of people that are in this company, and what a wonderful thing it is for me to get out there and represent Wilderness Athlete.
So you've made it past the 2 year, past the 10 year mark now. Where do you see, say, the next 2 years and the next 10 years Wilderness Athlete going?
Well, it's a great question. Well, the rate of growth right now is almost scary, because they'll tell you, and I'm not a businessman, you know, I've been a coach my whole life, but I can already tell you that trying to keep inventory in and and try to balance your books and yet keep your customers happy so that you don't have back orders. It's a tough one because you got to get in line. You know, when you're using a facility that manufactures, you know, you don't have your own manufacturing facility, but they manufacture for several companies, as I mentioned, really clean products. But I think the growth is there's really no limit. I think we'll probably triple in size this year, looking at our numbers right now. And, you know, we got a lot of stores that are now looking to bring us in. They're actually pursuing us, which is nice. So I don't have to be the one, you know, chasing them down. They're actually coming to us. And I just want to help people get healthy. Wherever it goes, it goes. If it turns into a 20 million, 50 million, 100 million, wherever it goes, we'll just enjoy the ride and help people get healthy along the way.
So then in that growth, I mean, obviously, you know, you guys have quite a number of different supplements, but is there anything that you guys are testing or pursuing, anything new that you might be able to drop a hint to some of the listeners as to, hey, this may be coming down the pike or, you know, something that you guys might be working on, or is it just kind of, you know, what's the direction, I guess? Is it expanding the line of supplements? Is it just growing by representation in stores? How do you see the growth as far as the lineup that you offer?
Yeah, I think that we want to make it a one-stop shop. And I can't let the cat out of the bag because, not that I really would mind doing that, Will, but things happen. You know, I might get ready to launch a new product in 8 weeks, and all of a sudden there's a packaging hiccup, and it's 6 months. I mean, things happen in this industry that can drive you crazy. But we do have several new products that we're ready to launch here in the next, I believe, 3 to 4 months. We will offer probably 2 to 3 new products a year after that to keep expanding, you know, our product line so that people do. Let me back up a second. You know, we have this huge following with people that use our hydration product called Hydrate Recover because it is, in my mind, and I think it's by far and away the single best hydration product on the planet. And our energy and focus product, likewise, is unbelievable. People mix them together, and they call it a Superman. You guys probably know that already. And that's our go-to product that people, once they use that, they take it, they feel how good it is. And then they say, man, these guys are legit. What else do they have? So that's kind of our lead-in product. And so I tell people, listen, invest a few dollars in those two products, and if you don't feel good, if you don't like them, then don't come back. But if they do what I tell you they're going to do, then take a look at what Wilderness Athlete makes, and I want you to trust us, and that's kind of how we want to grow it. It really is a trust issue. You know, if products don't do what they're supposed to do, I wouldn't come back either.
Absolutely.
So could you maybe, if you can't let the cat out of the bag, could you give us a peek into the bag?
Well, you know,
we're trying to blow up here, think, Mark. Come on.
No, I think we need to have some more functional things that can be taken into the backcountry. If that helps, I think there's things we can come up with there. I think there are some things for base, again, foundational health that we need to, kind of like our omega-3 fish oil. I think there's some things that we need to come up with or to come out with that can help people with digestive health. And I personally am a big fan of a high-fiber diet. So there's some things we can do there. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be probably half and half. Half of the new products coming out will be in the foundational health line. Half of the products will be in the advanced performance line. And And then, you know, like I mentioned, we have such a tremendous following with our Hydrate Recover and our Energy and Focus that we will come out with new flavors there and just keep moving the company forward. And, you know, strangely enough, guys, we have a tremendous following in our 28-day challenge where people that are trying to shed body fat while maintaining and supporting lean muscle. So we're doing some research studies in that arena, and I'm anxious to see what the results yield. I'm very positive about what that result will be, but it's exciting. So, Will, I don't mind you asking the question. I just asked the partners it would probably, you know, not be too happy with me if I got ahead of myself.
We don't want to get you in too much trouble. They won't allow you back on. maybe just when it comes time to bring them out, you can come on and talk a little bit about it.
Well, I'd appreciate that, guys. I really, and it really is a word of mouth thing. We're, like I said, we're not a great marketing company, or we're getting better, but we have a strong word of mouth growth profile because people do love Wilderness Athlete products. And so just having the opportunity to be on your show is much appreciated.
Hey, we appreciate you coming on. You know, you mentioned the 21 day fix, and I've seen similar things from all kinds of different brands, and even fitness, say like a, I don't know, there's other even fitness companies, like even at Mohawk Valley CrossFit where I go, they run a 30 or 40 day challenge of it's, you know, working out, eating better, sleeping more, hydrating more. You know, they monitor all your stuff. You have to keep a journal. And what I find is after the 30 days, I'll say for myself, is it's easier on that 30 days or the 21 days, but it's what comes next. It's the rest of your life. And what I'd love to see is more, say, aftercare from either a company or anyone who's running these sort of things, so people don't just get lost in the shuffle and relapse. So when they, you know, 40 days later, they need to do another 21-day challenge because they've, you know, fallen off the wagon.
I totally agree. 100% agree with you, Will. But our 28-day challenge, and you're right, there's all kinds of companies that are 24 days and 21 days, and obviously, I like 28 because it's, what have we all heard? That if you can do something for 30 days, you develop a habit. And that's what we're trying to do, is establish habit. But then what we're finding is that people look at our product line, and I never want to promote our 28-day challenge as something that is meant to be on forever. But I want people to develop habits and then pick out a couple of the products in there, like our greens infusion, that is so incredibly good for people to take one, basically, teaspoon a day and get 6 servings of fruits and vegetables. Add that into your shake. Certainly I want people to take a Wilderness Athlete multivitamin till the day they die. I think it's foolish not to when you look at all the protection you can get by taking 2 of our multivitamins every day and what they bring to the table. But point well taken, Will, that it's after the 28-day challenges, and hopefully, you know, we can't solve all the world's problems, but hopefully we can give them enough good nutrition to help them appreciate this phrase I remember hearing years ago. It's amazing what will happen to the human body when you give it good nutrition. And that is so true. And so we pride ourselves at Wilderness Athletes as being a nutrition company. It's the word supplement is kind of a catch-all, but we're about good nutrition. And I love label readers. I want them to look at what we've got, but take our products, give us a shot, and I think you'll be happy.
Now, as a nutrition company, have you ever thought, like, hey, if somebody takes this stuff, right, he's on – everything he should be, his multivitamins, fish oils, he's taking in enough protein. But then say he's drinking a 6-pack every night and eating, you know, a dozen chicken wings, he's going to kind of, like, he's better off for taking the supplements, but he's going to counteract a lot of what he's doing. Would it be possible, per se, to even give out maybe a little more information to go along with that stuff? Like, hey, if you're a male of X weight, you may want to look for, you know, X amount of protein a day, amount of carbs, amount of fat, something like that. Just so, you know, there's a lot of work that can be undone very quickly through, you know, bad nutrition the rest of the day.
Yeah, I think, you know, we give a really nice, in our 28-day challenge, we give out a booklet that it gives a guideline that basically takes you by the hand. Now, some people don't like to be taken by the hand. Others want you to tell them what to do from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to bed. So, you know, you can do what you want. But quite frankly, you know, well, at some point, I have to give people the freedom to either decide to be healthy or the freedom to decide not to be healthy. And that's just the way it is. The one thing I do not like, I don't like being lied to. I don't like hyperbole. I don't like people blowing smoke up, you know, my proverbial skirt. I just like being honest with people. And so if someone wants to live a lifestyle that's, you know, a little out there, that's up to them. I'm not their mother. I can help them live a longer, healthier, more productive life. But, you know, I also believe, in all honesty, Will, I think life is meant to be enjoyed. You know, can you live in the extremes all the time? The one thing that a lot of these young people that are big into CrossFit and big into training every day, they really don't understand how damaging that can be in terms of the extreme end of exercise. I remember a quote one time from a very popular research scientist and exercise physiologist. He said a lot of people wouldn't exercise if they knew how damaging it was for them. Because you can take yourself and place yourself in oxidative stress and create a lot of physiological damage if you don't rest, recover, supplement, eat right, and even that. So what am I saying, guys? You know, a little bit of anything in moderation is okay. You know, you look at exercise, it's a high leverage activity where you can do 4 30 to 45 minute bouts. Let's say 4 30 minute bouts of exercise or activity a week. That's 2 hours. Out of 168 hours in a week, you can do something for 2 hours and achieve tremendous health benefits. You don't got to go exercise 2 hours a day like a gonzo. Just do something to get the blood pumping, you know, because where blood flows, nutrients go, muscle stays healthy, muscle tissue stays healthy, bones get fed, flexibility stays high. So I just want people to know, I don't want people to live in a gutter, and I don't think you need to live in a gym. Just try to live in the middle, live a long, healthy life. So I kind of got preachy there. I apologize for that. But I get a little bit carried away with people that are afraid to, you know, go out and enjoy life too.
Hey, that's all right. You got to say what you believe in. I'll tell you right now, I'm not scared of chicken wings or pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good for you, Will. Enjoy life.
I guess my question I was getting at is, you know, maybe even just somewhere on the website, have a page that says, if you're new to, say, nutrition, right? Say you have someone out there who's working out by themselves, right? They don't have a coach. You know, they're maybe following, I don't know, the Train to Hunt programming online, working out. They hear about Wilderness Athlete, and they go on, and they're looking at these products, and they wonder, you know, where does this fit into my life? But also, you know, what dietarily should I be aiming at as a goal, you know, and maybe they could even use the site as a reference to say, hey, you know, these guys aren't just trying to help you, you know, with your supplements. They're trying to help you get better even with the stuff they're not selling you per se. Like, I don't know, you know, like I said, your protein intake or your carbs, breakdowns like that. You know, just some simple recommendations and pointers.
Yeah, well, if you and again, I agree with you. And if you go on our website and you go to, if you want to hear more details, you click on the information for each product, and it'll take you to a video that I've done on the site that gives you about 3 minutes of information that covers some of that. But I think we can do a better job. Well, I would agree with you. I don't think there's the biggest challenge that we have is educating people. And so I will take that information in the spirit that it was given, and we will try to do a better job because I do agree with you.
Yeah, I guess you hit the nail on the head. It's that continuing education, because when I got into fitness, you know, to do train to hunt, I didn't know anything, you know. I've heard of, you know, clean eating like bodybuilders had. I knew nothing about, you know, how everybody eats different for their bodies and for, you know, their goals. And I see you guys as having this great opportunity with people coming to you to be a real, I don't know, I can't think of a better word, but a beacon to say, hey, if you don't know, go to this website. You can get some great information there and also check out some great products for yourself.
I like it. No, I agree with you, and I appreciate the advice. I think one thing you'll find out about Wilderness Athlete is we don't have all the answers. I think we've got wonderful people involved, and we've got great relationships, and we're on the right track. But I'm not about taking advice from a hunter or a farmer, a rancher, or anybody else. And so I appreciate your you're thinking about that. Well, I'll write that down.
Well, I've watched your videos, and I know you guys are very, you know, knowledge-based, you know, fact-oriented, and that's why I bring it up, is I think it could be something that if somebody, you know, say I meet through Train to Hunt or even, you know, contacts me through this podcast and they have some questions, I can say, look, I don't have all the answers for you, but I know a place you can get started.
Yep. And you know, I'll tell you one thing, Will and Phil, one of my experiences has been this. If somebody tells you they've got all the answers, you should run. You should run like the wind.
Well, you just stick with me, Mark. I got all the answers.
I'm privileged to be involved with some people that are again, prestigious speakers that and researchers from around the world, and they will tell you the human body is an amazing creation, and there are certain things that they just do not understand. And I appreciate the honesty is what I really appreciate. So we're trying to do the best we can. We'll try to get better whenever we can and just keep moving forward.
Well, I appreciate you giving it some consideration. You know, touching on that a little bit and the changes of the human body and its physiology, what do you think has been some of the biggest changes in the fitness and supplement industry in, say, the past 10, 20 years?
Well, I think from a fitness standpoint, surely the shorter burst, the whole CrossFit, the full range motion, all these things that people can do now without having to go to a gym with 50 different, you know, the old Nautilus days when you did a leg extension, a leg curl, an abdomen. You know, now I love the way that fitness is moving. I love the advances where you can buy something online and you can, you know, whether it's P90X or you get the privacy of your own home, these apps that you can use on your phone. My wife and my daughter, they use them every other day. They work out together out on our patio. I think the mystery of fitness is kind of being taken away in a good way, where people just realize, just get moving. Just do something and get going. So I think that's a huge, you know, a wonderful thing that's transpired in this country. Nutritionally, there haven't been nearly as many advances, but they are starting to see far more things in terms of recovery and, you know, things like we're doing in the research arena with hydration and what we add to our hydration that with branched chain amino acids and vitamin C and the things that make that so much more powerful. But I think what you'll find too, though, Will, that we're still getting resistance in our nutritional supplements even necessary. So the real next great advancement to be is going to take place in the educational arena of demonstrating to people, don't just cry wolf. We've got to demonstrate. It's our job to show people. Because once you, teach a person, show them visually. I tell people, I'm from the Ross Perot School of Politics. Remember when Ross Perot ran for president? He got on TV and he showed people a bunch of graphs and charts that illustrated the drop in education or crime or he showed graphs. And when you show somebody the proof of a chart and a graph, a visual, whether it's a pie chart or any other kind of chart, it's a wake-up call. So without getting long-winded, I think our challenge, and that's one of my challenges, is to be able to provide hard data as to why people need to look at utilizing nutritional supplements to boost long-term health.
You know, you bring up a good point about are supplements even necessary? And earlier you touched on how you know, supplements is a catch-all, and you're more of a nutrition company. And I think one thing I would say to people who ask, are supplements, you know, necessary? And I would say, well, in my case, you know, personally, yes, because I need, you know, X amount of grams of protein a day. And quite frankly, I can't eat that much food without being sick. So, you know, a protein shake is the perfect fix for that. And it goes from being just a supplement to part of my nutritional makeup during the day.
Well, I would agree. And, you know, can I be specific here? And for your audience, I think you'll find this interesting. And I've actually lived this. I can tell you that the rates of asthma in this country since 1980 has gone up 87%. 87.44%. Now, that's due to a lack of magnesium in the foods that we utilize today. Okay? You want to know how I can tell you that is absolutely true, guys?
Yep,
because
I'm interested.
Because during my years of coaching, nobody 30 years ago, you never saw an inhaler for asthma. You never saw one. You go out to any college football field today around the country, and you'll sprain your ankle walking around the field perimeter with inhalers that are thrown all over the place. Because I'm guessing 30% now of college football players are on inhalers. Now, somebody explain that to me. Somebody tell me what happened in the last 30 years to where we go from no inhalers to 30% of the football players needing an inhaler. Can you explain that?
I myself can't explain it, but I would love to hear the explanation behind it.
I think it's because of the highly processed foods that we utilize today are void of nutrition. And we've become a country of finger foods. I remember going to a seminar 12 years ago where they were doing research on where this country was going with finger foods because of the convenience. You know, you got two parents working and they're busy and they come home and they pop some in the microwave, and this is all highly processed. The nutrition is taken out of it for the most part. The fiber has certainly been taken out. So it's I don't have the answer, guys. I'm just telling you, I'm looking at research and I've lived it. So if I were to get in front of a group of hunters and relate that story, they would probably go, well, maybe I need to look at a multivitamin with, you know, some good minerals in it, or a magnesium supplement or something like that. So I'm just trying to bring up some food for thought, guys, because that's why I bring it up, that it's my job to educate people. I've been a musclehead, guys. I've been a big 300-pound bench press to gym. I benched 520, squatted 730. I've been a competitive at a high-level discus thrower, football player at a high level. I've been down that road. I want to provide nutrition that helps people live a long, healthy life.
Well said. You know, I mean, awareness is where it seems like there's so much of where people disconnect is because they want the magic pill, they want the quick fix, they want I want it now, I want the fast food now, as opposed to being aware of, hey, this isn't good for you, or doing things the hard way sometimes, it's worth it. And that's, I mean, as well said, it's something that follows through all facets of life is the awareness and the education factor that it seems to be slipping away. And I think that's where so much of the problems of today's society falls, is because people are just, they want the magic pill. They want it now. There's no patience, and there's no, the willingness to work hard, it seems to be going away.
Well, that, guys, and quite frankly, I don't need to mention names here, but large corporations, and I'm not anti-corporation. I'm just saying that the only reason they care if you live or die is so you buy their product. It's not, and let's be honest, too. Let's be honest here. It's not their job to take care of your health. That's your job. You know, so pay attention. And the one thing that's interesting is a little bit of planning. It doesn't take minutiae here. A little bit of detail and planning. Interestingly enough, the same thing that's necessary for weight gain, putting on muscle, getting stronger, is the same thing that's necessary for fat loss. A little bit of planning. If you're caught without a plan, you can almost guarantee your results are going to be very, very limited. So a little bit of planning.
And that's true. I think down the road here, I'm going to do a food prep video with my fiance, because Sundays for us is all about food prep, cutting vegetables, fruit, you know, preparing meals, putting them in Tupperware, you know, setting everything up for the week, because that's how we succeed. And I'll be the first person to admit that if I get caught, you know, without my plan to execute, I'll fail. I'll be stopping at the local gas station for some pizza and some crap that I don't really shouldn't be eating. And if you fail to plan, you might as well plan to fail.
Yeah, it's hard to fool old blood sugar, you know. And if I know you guys, we're all hunters. I mean, I've been at the bottom of a canyon trying to pack out an elk on my back for the partner when I went into a little bit of a blood sugar tank, and that was the most miserable experience of my life. And it's because I forgot to plan that morning. I was so excited to get out and go hunting. I didn't put in enough energy to get through what might be in front of me, and I paid a huge price for it. But that's a sad way to learn, because, you know, I should have known better. So it's fun. I mean, that's why I'm passionate about Wilderness Athlete and about this company and about helping fellow sportsmen. Because I think most of them want help, they just don't really know what to do, and I really look forward to that challenge.
Now, if you could go hunting, Mark, anywhere, where would it be, and what would you hunt?
I am an elk hunting fanatic. I know people that would walk by a 400 bull to go find a 250 mule deer any day of the week, but something, I cut my teeth in the West on bugling bulls, to where I don't know what it did to my nervous system, but I'm just enamored by those buggers. That's why I told you earlier, if I don't draw a tag, I'm still going somewhere. Because I don't care if I just have to sit down and listen to them. I certainly won't mess any other hunters up. I would never do that. But I don't have enough years left in my life to miss a year of being around those wonderful creatures.
You're hardwired now.
I'm telling you, I'm hardwired. And I love hunting everything, though. I do an antelope tag. I'm fired up about that. My son Gunner drew a great mule deer tag. I'm fired up about that. So I'm going back fishing to Minnesota. You know, I love to hunt ducks and pheasants. Man, I love to be outside. But if you had to pin me down like you just asked me, man, I'll tell you what, the last 2 weeks of September is pretty magical.
Yeah, that's something that Will hasn't got to experience yet, so definitely something that we're going to be putting on the books real soon for him. But I agree with you there. I haven't got to hunt all the animals in North America, not even close. But from when my dad took me out in the woods the very first time, you know, and to this point now, the elk is the one animal that I don't think I can go without hunting.
And I'm as I mentioned, a little bit older now, so that I am starting to move into something I never thought I would say. Because, of course, I would love to kill a big monster bull, but I got no more room off my walls for big critters. I mean, my wife would throw me out. I got no more room. I just love to be around them, you know. Can I be happy with the, I got a great tag this year. Will I be sad to take a raghorn? Absolutely not. I'll be tickled to death just being out there, guys. I moved into that part of my life where every day out there is appreciated.
I'm in trouble then, Mark, because I'm already in that stage of my life. I don't care if we're going to hunt, you know, you name it, I'll go. Squirrels, doesn't matter to me. Let's go outside, stay outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned fishing. Are you a fly rod man or reels, or what's your game?
Both. I mean, I grew up fishing in northern Minnesota and in Canada for pike and walleye.
A lot of great fishing
came
up
out here.
Way.
Oh, incredible fishing. And actually fly fishing for bluegills, which is absolutely a riot. You know, if you ever get a chance in late April to put a little popper on your fly rod and go into those beds, it's amazing. And I fly fishing out here for trout. I think the beauty of fly fishing is just the surrounding environment of fly fishing is, come on, you're standing in the mountains in knee-deep water, and it's just so incredibly beautiful. And then you catch I'm not a big eater of trout. I don't think they taste that great. Maybe I'm just a bad cook, but they're sure beautiful to look at. But the next thing I want to do is I want to go back to Canada and fly fish for big pike with streamers. So that's next on my hit list.
Hey, that's a great idea. And this is a comparison I draw with someone bow hunts but doesn't fly fish, or fly fish but doesn't bow hunts. As I say, they're kind of the equivalent of each other for their respective sport. You know, for you got to be in tune with the bow the way you have to be in tune with your rod. You have to be in tune with the arrows, kind of, you know, the way you have to be in tune with your line and your lure. And I think there's just a great crossover for, I would almost say, like a therapeutic serenity when you're whether it's you're shooting arrows or, you know, casting your rod. I'd say they're very, very close to one another.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I think it's all good. I mean, all of it is good. And I'm looking forward to, I don't know how much my wife is looking forward to it, but I've got to get a fishing boat here before long because I'm going to start spending more time on the water, even in New Mexico. The one thing I have not done a good job of is finding some good fishing holes in this state because not a lot of people fish here, and I know there's some decent fisheries, so that's in the plan.
Well, we put that out to our listeners. If anybody here knows some good fishing spots in New Mexico, hit up Wilderness Athletes Facebook page and let Mark know. I understand you may not want to share them all, but if you got a few you don't mind letting go, you know, put them out there to the man.
Appreciate that, Will.
Hey, anything to help a fellow sportsman, Mark.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
What's your favorite part about your job?
I think there's never a dull moment because of product development, dealing with customers, helping them achieve their personal goals. You know, I've been around the traditional athlete for so many years, and so look at you guys. You know, when you're trained to hunt, and the ability to be around people like yourself now, it's all new. And but I think you guys would agree that certainly there's hunters out there, sportsmen, whether it's men or women, who I'm going to rub the wrong way. They're not going to like me or something like that. But, boy, I tell you what, I just came from the Pope and Young show in Phoenix a couple weeks ago. And just love talking to everybody. I mean, just walking around looking at the new record book skulls that came in and visiting with people. It's just a group of people that have the right motive in life. And I just love being around them, quite frankly, Will. It's just a group of people that I enjoy being around. The egos, and yeah, there's some guys that all they want to do is talk about their big bull they shot, or they want to act like somebody they're bigger than, they're, you know, they make themselves out to be bigger than they are. But, you know, take a guy like Randy Ulmer. I mean, what a class act. This guy is probably the most incredible hunter in this country, and you'd never even know he's a hunter if you didn't bring it up. I just love being around humble outdoorsmen. They're just my kind of people, and I love it. I love Wilderness Athlete because it puts me in front of people like you guys and people like you guys around the country.
That's a darn good answer. I got to concur with you there. That's easily my favorite part of training to hunt. And you see a lot of the same or similar mindset people. And it's, you know, people like yourselves, like Phil. I know you mentioned earlier the key to success is surrounding yourself with smarter, more talented people and holding them on with all you got. And that's what I've done with Phil, is I've tricked him into being my co-host. And here I am.
You didn't have to twist my arm, Will. But no, I adding on to that answer, I agree. I mean, you know, it's funny going to any kind of event when it's athletics or train to hunt now, where there is some, you know, that when the competitive spirit comes out. But the thing about hunters and bow hunters more specifically is once you get past that and you peel back that first layer of, you know, getting the ego away, out of the way a little bit, and everybody just settles down and starts telling hunting stories and, you know, talking about with their upcoming hunts and everything else. It's such a great group of people to be around that, I mean, that's one of the reasons I opened a pro shop. I mean, I started my second business here of that kind of community, because that's the kind of community that I wanted to raise my kids in. Because, like I said, honest, hardworking people that'll lend a hand out at any given time. You know, so I mean, Mark, I think we all share what you just said. You know, in so many areas of our life, because the hunting community is, to me, top notch.
Yeah, hard to, and I want people to, I mean, I was fortunate enough to go on a bear hunt a few years back up in Saskatchewan. I met one of the most incredible people who was the president, I believe, of the Colorado Archery, and his name was Jeff Lampe, and just the salt of the earth man, and he was a young man, and now, by young, I'm saying he was probably in his late 30s, early 40s. And Jeff went hunting that fall after that bear hunt. He was out training or something, fell over dead of a heart attack in his early 40s. And so I look at people like Jeff, and I feel like it's an obligation. I mean, you know, a lot of times, I mean, I don't think I was given too many talents in this lifetime. So I better use the few that I have. And I think one that I have is the ability to help people get healthy. And I wish I could turn the clock back with Jeff. Unfortunately, I can't. But he left a lasting impression on me for the quality of person that he was. And, you know, I just hope that we can grow this company and with the right motives to help people get healthy. And, go in that direction.
Speaking of great people, I've been waiting to talk about this for a while, ever since Arizona. And, you know, basically to anyone I could have the conversation with, what did you think of Chris Denham's performance at the Train to Hunt Arizona event because I was really impressed.
Well, for those of you that don't know Chris Denham, you know, Chris, editor for Western Hunter Magazine, works with Elk Hunter Magazine, and he is a partner in Wilderness Athlete. And Chris is, I hope I'm not wrong here, but I think Chris is 52 years old. And I don't know if you know this either, Will, but a couple days after that event, he went and did the rim in Arizona, which is, what, 52 miles nonstop?
Yeah, I saw some of his pictures. It looked pretty I didn't even know that existed.
Well, see, you bring up a good point, Will, because, you know, Chris is not tall in stature. He's not big, but he's a gamer. And that's the one thing that, you know, wilderness athletes don't have to look like, you know, Adonis. You don't got to look like a Greek god. You can't judge a man's heart. And Chris Denham is a gamer. And, you know, that's one reason why I may have to bow out, because I think Chris would put me to shame if I got in the starting blocks with him, and I don't need the grief, quite frankly.
Well, you know, and I know some of our listeners already know this, but I'm really pushing the team aspect of Train to Hunt. You know, maybe we can see a Wilderness Athlete, Mark Paulson, Chris Denham team down the road.
Well, if I'm part of the team and I'm the last one, that probably means I'll get shot. I'll be like the horse that gets put down.
I'm sure Chris would do you the kindness of dragging you to the finish.
But I think, you know what, I think it's good that what Chris has done, too, is he's probably, or, you know, I think he was the oldest one there, or one of the oldest. He keeps people like myself, people that are, you know, in their late 40s, early 50s, late 50s and 60s, realizing, why not? Why not? Nobody says I got to set the world on fire. It's just about competing and challenging yourself and not laying down. Not just giving up and laying down. Just keep fighting the good fight. And I don't know that I'll ever be doing the rim to rim to rim, but Train to Hunt is certainly a possibility for me, guys.
Yeah, you know, it's the old don't go quietly into the night.
That's right.
I gotta say, though, I was at Station 3 on the second day, and I knew Chris, you know, had a shot, and it was a tough competition he was going against, and man, he came through and he was smoking. I just wanted to bring it up just because I was so impressed by his performance.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like you said, sometimes you just got to be a hustler.
Well, he's and he trains, you know, he just goes out and he's consistent. You know, I think for anybody that wanted to watch Chris Denham train, he's not a wild man. He's just, you know, he's got so much on his plate. If anybody tells me they're busier than Chris Denham, they're crazy. With what he has to manage with these magazines that he runs, but he still manages to fit the time in to be a healthy, active person. So my hats off to Chris.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's what it's all about, finding the time to take care of yourself. So, what supplements do you yourself take, Mark?
Well, I'm a big wake up every morning with a Superman. So, first thing I do is take a serving of Hydrate, Recover, Energy, and Focus, and start my day every single day that way. And then I walk out the kitchen, you know, after I get dressed, and I mix up either a meal replacement shake or a straight protein shake with greens infusion, and I may add some frozen fruit in there, and that's my breakfast. It's just convenient and quick. I usually do another Superman in the afternoon. Oh, I got to back up. Then, of course, when I take my shake, I have my multivitamins and my omega-3s. And I also supplement with some additional vitamin C. I listen, like I told you guys, I pay attention to these researchers, and they really talk a lot about, the role of vitamin C in collagen repair in your immune system. So I'm a big believer in vitamin C. Then I may have another, I just try to eat a healthy salad for lunch. And I've really become, because as I get older, your natural testosterone, your natural metabolism starts to slow down. So in my heyday, you're going to laugh at this, but I probably consumed 6,000 to 7,000 calories a day as an athlete. And now I try to keep it around 1,800 to 2,300 a day.
Wow. That's a little bit of a difference.
Well, but when you're throwing around the weight that we used to throw when you're running and training and it's the world I used to live in. And I enjoyed it, but I don't miss. In fact, I'm weighing about 245 right now. I need to weigh about 225 for long-term health. So for you guys that are out there, I'm not a little guy. I'm 6'4", 245. But that's not optimal for me. I've had a couple of surgeries recently that kind of waylaid me. But, such is life. You got to deal with the hand you're dealt. And there again, that's where cutting my overall calorie load by using one or two shakes a day certainly makes it much, much easier.
Yeah, that's, it's sometimes your supplementation becomes your nutrition,
And
you're not
a guy
just
ultimate,
out there talking about it. You're out there living it.
Yeah, I take our ultimate pre-workout before I go hiking or before I train. And every night, and this is one product that people don't understand the role of rest and nutrition at bedtime. And so we have a product called a nighttime optimizer that is really incredible to help the body's release of growth hormone at night for repair, tissue repair. So I take that every night, and that's my daily regimen.
Cool.
So I know that you've taken time out of your day. I know one time here recently you got on Facebook and just took an hour, or I'm not sure how long you were on there, and just answered questions as people delivered them to you. I mean, are you planning on doing that anytime soon again?
Yes. I think that's a great way, Phil. And a lot of times I write for hunting magazines, and I really love feedback. Sometimes I don't know if I'm hitting the mark. People say they like what I write, but I really like to hear right from the horse's mouth. Could you tell me more about this, or could you write more about, whatever it might be. So I really love to get the immediate response. So great question, Phil, and we should do that again. In fact, maybe we can do that on your Take Aim podcast one night. I just answered questions.
Hey, I'm down. We are working on making it live, so when that happens, we'll make sure you're our first guest for it.
Sure, absolutely.
And maybe you could let us peek in your cat bag again.
I will. I'll try to get some approval next time. Maybe I can release a product on your show. How about that?
There you go. That's what we like to hear, right, Phil? Big things.
That's it. That would work on our end for sure.
All right, Mark.
How about if I gave you guys for your listeners, if I gave you a coupon code that they could get 20% off any purchase, would that be okay?
Hey, that's all right with us.
Well, if they're listening, then write down this code. I just text this to the guy that handles all my orders out the door, and we've just set up a code. And the code is LOYALWA, LOYALWA, LOYALWA. And if you put that in the coupon code when you check out, it will automatically give you 20% off of your order. How about that?
Hey, that's great. And that would be LOYALWA, correct?
Correct. Unless, let's just leave it at that. Royal WA.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Well, I think overall, Mark, you have a wealth of knowledge, and I think people need to, like you said, when they check out your website, go to the videos, because there's a lot of good information there. There's a lot of little nuggets that people can take from it. I've seen some just floating around. People share them on Facebook. I've seen some through your website. But, the Q&As, I think, are helpful. And, I mean, is there anything else? I know you said you write articles. You spend as much time as you can out with the public to try to interact. But, where else can people find you? I mean, do you do a lot on social media, or is it more just, through your articles and your Q&As when you have time for that?
Well, we have a Wilderness Athlete Facebook page that I'd be happy to take questions on and get back to people. And I think, again, that's an area where we're going to get better as a company. But I enjoy talking to people. I really, truly, and now down the road as we grow, guys, you can imagine, like I said, when we're a $50 million company, I'll never be above that. I'll never be too good for that. But it's going to be a little bit more problematic as this company continues to grow at this clip. So the Wilderness Athlete Facebook page is probably the best bet, Bill.
Okay.
All right. Is there anything we're running out of time here, Mark? Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, really, for me, it's just a thank you for people that are going to take a look at us and trust us enough to become customers, and then if they would do me a favor and tell their friends and family about us. We try to run as many promotionals as humanly possible. We try to keep our costs as low as we possibly can, and I just look forward to meeting people, talking to people, and building this company, and thanking everybody out there that's helping us build this company and help. Sportsman, I tell people all the time, my goal and job is to keep people healthy and alive as long as possible so they can make a difference for sportsmen. It's hard to make a difference when you're gone. So, yes, we all want to leave a legacy, but I want to keep you here and healthy as long as I can. So, let me know what I can do to help all of you.
Well said.
Well, there you go, everybody. So, if you want to check out Wilderness Athlete, you do not have to pay full price thanks to Mark and his code LOYALWA. Put that in, get 20% off your order. Mark, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. Next week, we will have Trevin Stoltzfus, who I believe that's how you pronounce his name, but let's be honest, it's incredibly hard to pronounce. He is the host of Outback Outdoors, and is it Saturday the 6th, Phil?
Yeah, this Saturday they got the Ibex Adventure coming out, so make sure you check that out. We want to talk to Trevin about that next week, but go ahead, Will.
I'm going to be honest. Both Phil and I have been fortunate enough to see it already, and it is a hunting visual experience you're not going to want to miss. It's not the typical whack 'em and stack 'em hunting show. He's really, telling a story, making you feel what he feels on the hunt. I really can't say enough good things about it. As some of you have heard me say before, I'm really not the biggest fan of a lot of hunting programs. But this he sent to me, and it's the first one I actually got my fiance to sit through. And at the end of it, she could not believe how entertained she was by it. So I really, don't know what to say more than that, other than, set your TiVos, get ready. Saturday night, Outback Outdoors is presenting the Ibex. Anything else, Phil? Mark,
that's it. Just thanks to Mark. We appreciate your time. So everybody over at WA, we appreciate you guys being so willing to come on and just contribute to the Natural Born Hunter podcast and just making people aware of you guys and what you bring to the table. And we'll just see where the future leads with more conversations, interaction.
Well, thanks, Phil, and thank you, Will, for having me on. I'll leave you with the fact that Trevin Stoltzfus is a very entertaining speaker, so you're going to enjoy him. And if you're a fireman or a policeman or, you know, a serviceman, we offer discounts for people that do what they do for our country. So get a hold of us, and I'd be happy to give you your discount code. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Mark. This has been the Natural Born Hunter Podcast with your host, Will Bradley, my co-host, Phil Mendoza. We now have our website up and running, naturalbornhunter.com, and you can also check us out on iTunes. Everybody, have a great night. Have a great day whenever you're listening to this. Wake up, chase your dreams, repeat.
You gotta know what you wanna do. You gotta dedicate yourself to it. You gotta wake up thinking about it. Go to work thinking about it. Go to bed thinking about it. You gotta dream about it. I put my life on this. Hand to God. Other hand on my chest. I like these eyes. I don't play by the rules.
No one does.
I butter both sides of my toast, low pump, just because.
You chase the golden arrow.